Having four arms.
Shonga
chakra gata rajiva panayaha. Holding conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower in their hands. Kiritinaha. Bearing helmets on their heads. Kundalinaha.
Wearing earrings.
Adanaha. Wearing pearl necklaces. Vanamalinaha. Wearing garlands of forest flowers. Shivatsa angatato ratna kambu kankana pranayaha.
Shivatsa angatato ratna kambu.
Bearing the emblem of the goddess of fortune on their chests.
Bearing the emblem of the goddess of fortune on their chests.
Armlets on their arms.
Armlets on their arms.
The Kostuba gem on their necks.
The Kostuba gem on their necks.
Which were marked with three lines.
Which were marked with three lines.
Like a conch shell and bracelets.
Like a conch shell and bracelets.
On their hands.
On their hands.
Nupurai.
Nupurai.
With ornaments on the feet.
With ornaments on the feet.
Katakahi.
Katakahi.
With bangles on their ankles.
With bangles on their ankles.
Bataha.
Bataha.
Appearing beautiful.
Appearing beautiful.
Kati Sutra Ahangule Yaktahai.
Kati Sutra Ahangule Yaktahai.
With sacred belts around the waist.
With sacred belts around the waist.
And with rings on the fingers.
And with rings on the fingers.
So, translation. All those personalities had four arms holding conch shell, disc, mace, and lotus flower in their hands. They wore helmets on their heads, earrings on their ears, and garlands of forest flowers around their necks. On the upper portion of the right side of their chest was the emblem of the goddess of fortune. Furthermore, they wore armlets on their arms, the Kostuba gem around their necks, which were marked with three lines like a conch shell and bracelets on their wrists. The bangles on their ankles, ornaments with bangles on their ankles, ornaments on their feet, and sacred belts all around their waist, they appeared very beautiful. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki. All the Vishnu forms had four arms, with conch shell and other articles, but these characteristics are also possessed by those who have attained sarupya mukti, Vaikuntha, and who consequently had forms exactly like the form of the Lord. However, these Vishnu forms appearing before Lord Brahma also possess the mark of Shivatsa and the Kostuba gem, which are special characteristics possessed only by the Supreme Lord Himself. This proves that all these boys and calves were in fact directly expansions of Vishnu, the personality of God, and not merely his associates, Vaikuntha. Vishnu himself is included within Krishna. All the opulences of Vishnu are already present in Krishna, and consequently for Krishna to demonstrate so many Vishnu forms was actually not very astonishing. The Srivatsa mark is described by the Vaishnava Toshani as being a curl of fine yellow hair on the upper portion of the right side of Lord Vishnu's chest. This mark is not for ordinary devotees. It is a special mark of Vishnu or Krishna. So again, Chaturbhuja Shankha Chakra Gadara Jiva Panyaha Kavitara Kundalino Harino Vanamalinaha Srivatsangara Doratna Kambu Kankana Panyaha Nuparai Katakara. Oh, Koti Sutrangu. So, Omagana. Timiranda Shaganjana Shalakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena. Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So, several points. This particular verse or section of the Bhagavatam proves the point that Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. You'll find many people who basically don't know the Shastras who will say that Krishna is the expansion of Vishnu. You'll find this common in India. Of course, in India, so many people also think that they are Krishna. They are Krishna. Of course, this is called Nirashesha. It's like we have this prayer to Srila Prabhupada. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pachani Nirashesha Sunyavadi Pasyachupe Ishatari. Nirashesha means really not understanding the different categories. There are different categories. There's Vishnu, and Vishnu's energies, and amongst Vishnu's energies, Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta Chetroke Patata Para. Vidyakarma Sanganya Tritira Shyapti Yashite. That amongst Vishnu's energies, they're generally divided into three categories: material, spiritual, and good old us, the marginal potency of the Lord. So these are the different categories. So one is, let's say, Nirvishesha Vadi. That means one who doesn't understand the categories. And there's different types of Nirvishesha Vadis. One is the Maya Vadi, who thinks that Krishna's body is material, in other words. It's not. Another type of Nirvishesha Vadi is the impersonalist, who thinks that ultimately everything is unvariegated or not variegated. Of course, that was Shankaracharya's philosophy, that ultimately everything is one, and somehow or other it became... Of course, he considers that the oneness is the ultimate, is the highest, but then he doesn't touch upon the point, how did the one appear to be variegated? You know, in other words, the fault in his philosophy is that there appears to be Maya, which is stronger than the oneness. Anyway, so Nirvishesha basically means not understanding categories, different categories. That's basically what it means. And of course, Shunyavadi, Shunya means like zero, void, like Shunya, zero. It's like, you know, in Hindi, it's Shunya, you know, zero. Zero. Zero means nothing, for those who don't know what that means. That means ultimately, there's nothing. I mean, sometimes the Buddhists, you know, sometimes the Buddhists are unfairly categorized as all being Shunyavadis. They're not. There's different varieties of Shunya. There's different varieties of Buddhists. Actually, if you really take Buddha's original teachings, Buddha is not a Shunyavadi, nor is he teaching Shunyavadi philosophy. Buddha is simply teaching that you're not the body. And basically, if you can control your senses, you can overcome distress. Because the distress that we experience in this world is due to the body, which we're including the subtle body now, too. The mind, intelligence, false ego. It's due to the Linga Sharira and the Pancha Mahabhuta body. So it's all due to that. Not really due to that, it's due to the attachment to that. You know, you can't blame the body for your pain. You can blame your attachment for the pain. You know, it's important for people to take responsibility. You're in pain because of the attachment to the body. Give up the, of course, this is Buddhist principle. Give up the attachment, you give up the misery. Anyway, so Buddha wasn't precisely a Shunyavadi, or teaching Shunyavadi philosophy, although many of his present followers and even the name of different branches of Buddhism, like when they talk about what is the sound of one hand clapping. You know, it's called a koan, not a C-O-H-E-N. It's a K-O-A-N. That's supposed to get you to the point that nothing is real, strawberry fields forever, like the Beatles song was. So anyway, so Prabhupada's, you know, Prabhupada's teaching is to basically represent Lord Chaitanya and his spiritual master in the Western world, and to show people the different categories. You know, let's take it in the positive. You know, say Nirvishesha Shunyavada. He actually defeats impersonalism and voidism, or to be more precise, he defeats people not understanding the categories. That's actually a more precise definition. And voidism. But let's take it on the positive, that he shows the different categories, not only the category of Jiva and Vishnu, but he shows within the Vishnu categories, Prabhupada has showed us, using the Bhagavatam, not simply from his own mental concoction, but he's using the Bhagavatam and the Acharya's teachings, he shows us the different categories within Vishnu. And the Bhagavatam, of course, is very specific about this. When you find the listing of Krishna's various avatars or incarnations, you find the verse 18 chunks of Kalak Pumsa, Krishna's two, Bhagavan Swayam, which is one of the nutshell verses in the Bhagavatam. It's that all these different incarnations or avatars that are listed, then they're all 18 chunks of Kalak Pumsa. They're all ansas, they're all part and parcel, they're all portions of Krishna. You know, you have this plenary portion and portions of plenary portions. You know, let's say you have Krishna, I mean, and he expands as Balaram, and then you have Arjuna and Aniruddha, etc. like that. That's the first, like you would say, the Chaturvyuha. And then you have other Chaturvyuhas who expand from there. You have portions of plenary, you have the Chaturvyuha, and then plenary portions, and portions of plenary portions. And portions of plenary portions, and portions of portions of portions of plenary portions. Sounds a little complex. In other words, and just like you have Lord Ram, and then you have Lakshman, Shatrughna, Bharat, and they're also the Chaturvyuha, that Vasudev Sankarshan, Lakshman is Sankarshan, Prajuna and Aniruddha. Really interesting. Anyway, so these are the different categories, and so Krishna, he is basically in the highest category amongst the Vishnu Tattvas. Technically, Krishna is under the category of Vishnu Tattva, but Vishnu expands from him. Because Vishnu Tattva can also be understood as a category, not only in reference to the four hands, but when we talk about Vishnu Tattva, Krishna is Vishnu Tattva. That means God. But Vishnu expands from Krishna. You understand that? Vishnu Tattva is a category in that particular instance. Just like sometimes people are confused when they're chanting the obeisances to Tulsi Devi. They say, Vrindayai Tulsi Devi, Priyai Kishvashchaya. They say, Krishna Bhakti Pade Devi. But actually, I mean, it's not incorrect to say Krishna Bhakti Pradeh Devi, Satyabhajayamaha. But actually, the actual correct Shastric presentation of that verse is Vishnu Bhakti Pradeh Devi, because it refers to the category. You understand? Mm-hmm. Because you offer Tulsi Devi to all the Vishnu Devis. You don't offer Tulsi Devi to Radharani. You don't offer Tulsi Devi to Sita Devi. You don't offer Tulsi Devi to Hanuman. You know, so you're referring to the category. Does everyone understand that? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to correct people if they say Krishna Bhakti Pradeh Devi, because it's not philosophically incorrect, but it's not philosophically inclusive. Mm-hmm. Does everyone understand that? Inclusive, it doesn't. You know, it doesn't really reflect the full extent of our philosophy. The full extent of our philosophy is that you offer Tulsi to any Vishnu. You're going to offer Tulsi to the Nrsimha Bhagavan. And but you wouldn't say, Nrsimha Bhakti Pradeya Devi, Satya Bhajaya Modaha. You don't do that, do you?
Sometimes
you do that. That's a joke. Yeah, I never heard anyone do that. Or Rama Bhakti Pradeya Devi, Satya Bhajaya. Because it's a category. So it's really important to understand when you're dealing with Sanskrit verses that you're referring to categories sometimes. You know, so the Vishnu Tattva is a category. Tattva. Tattva is like, you know, it's a category, but it's just like, it's that. Tattva actually directly means that-ness, you know, if you take the direct meaning of that. You know, something that's real. Nasato vijite bhavo nabhavo vijite sataha. Ubiyar api drishtavantas 20-ostat vidarshati, as the Bhagavad Gita says, something that is substantial, continues to exist. You know, it's a real category. You know, we wouldn't say that, let's say, being an American is a tattva. You know, because it's not, I mean, it's a temporary truth, you know, that we're in America. Or, let's say a movie. This is wood, is not a tattva. Even though, right, it is wood. But this wood can be transformed to something else. For example, if there's a fire, what happens? The wood is no longer wood. It's a potential energy in there, becomes manifest. And that energy, you know, transforms into ashes or whatever. So that's not a tattva. It's not. But for example, I'm a spirit soul. That's a tattva. Jiva tattva. Or Vishnu tattva, or Shakti tattva. These are all categories. These are categories that continue. They're eternal. Just like, you know, the first important from the Gita was the sages see that those things which are temporary is unreal. Not that they don't exist, but you don't, they're not tattvas. And those things which are continue to exist are real because they're tattvas. You know, there's categories. This is not a category. I mean, obviously, I understand. It is wood. Otherwise, I'd be crazy. But, or is it? It is a book stand. Now, temporarily, but that's not the time. Anyway, so getting back to the point. So this verse in the Bhagavatam and the purport, of course, prove that Krishna is the source of all the incarnations or all Vishnu tattvas. How does it prove it? Because Krishna manifests all these different forms. There's no indication that Lord Vishnu ever manifests Krishna. There's some illusory story in different places, but there's no real bona fide Shastric verse that indicates that Lord Vishnu, from Lord Vishnu comes Krishna. It just doesn't work like that. And even you have that story in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, how Lord Vishnu wanted to see Krishna. He wanted to see Krishna's beauty. You know, and actually Lord Vishnu, the funny thing is, I mean, it is funny actually, is that Lord Vishnu and Krishna are the same person. That Lord Vishnu is just, I don't want to say just, Lord Vishnu is Krishna in a different mood, exhibiting himself partially. That's when we talk about a portion of a plenary portion or a plenary portion. It's just a partial exhibition of the same person. Yeah, I think we should make that clear. They're not two different persons. But because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could be doing unlimited things, exhibiting different aspects of himself simultaneously and having interactions with himself. I remember when I was young, there was one film in which this one actor played two, I mean, they had this sometimes, one actor played two different roles, and they had to use all sorts of different cinematic, you know, tricks. Of course, nowadays, of course, it's much easier. They have digital videos. So they were explaining, I was watching, there was a documentary how they did that, how they had the same girl play her twin. It was interesting. And but Krishna doesn't need to do stuff like that, no cinematic tricks. Krishna can actually be in unlimited places, like in everyone's heart, simultaneously, etc., doing different things. Just like when Narada Muni came to see Krishna in Dwarka, to visit Krishna in his home, to do a little home program. Then Narada Muni discovered that in every home there was something different going on. In one place, Krishna was playing chess with his kids. Another place, Krishna was doing something with his wife. You know, everything different in all the different places. That's God. That's the nature of God. He could do that. So, anyway, getting back to the story. I said one time Vishnu wanted to see Krishna. He wanted to see Krishna's beauty. So he just made a trick. He kept stealing the Brahmin's sons right after the Brahmin's sons were born. And Arjuna thought he was going to protect these Brahmin's sons. And he took a vow that if he couldn't protect the Brahmin's sons, he would actually commit harikari. You don't know what that is. I mean, suicide. That's from the Japanese in World War II. You know, if they were unsuccessful in their mission, they would take a sword and they would disembowel themselves. Wish I was so dedicated to Krishna. Of course, I'm not going to do that. But anyway, so Arjuna took a vow to kill himself if he couldn't protect the Brahmin's sons. And then Brahmin's sons kept disappearing, and Arjuna got ready to kill himself, and Krishna said it's not a good idea. And so they mounted Krishna's chariot with four horses, pierced through the coverings of the material universe to see the Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu said, I just made this trick so I could see you. So, it's quite interesting. It's actually quite interesting, all these different categories. Anyway, so there's many proofs that actually Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by worshipping Krishna, you're worshipping all the incarnations. If you chant Hare Krishna, all the incarnations are there. The demigods are satisfied, because demigods are not incarnations of Krishna or avatars of Krishna, generally. And you take care of everything. Yasmin Vigyate Sarvam Evam Vigyatam Bhavati. If you know Krishna, you know everything. So that's really important. Now, another point is, I thought it was really interesting, that Krishna, in order to manifest all these different Vishnu forms, he didn't have to do anything. In other words, it's not that Krishna had to sit down in meditation and perform austerities so Vishnu forms would come out. Like there's one sage, Shobari Muni, he was able to divide himself up like in 50 different ways because he had 50 wives. It helps. So if you have 50 wives, you divide yourself up. So, but anyway, each of those expansions were just like television expansions. They weren't doing something different. So he had to undergo so much austerity to get these mystic powers. Whereas Krishna, he didn't have to do anything. It's just his desire, saikshita, up to kama. He simply wanted it to happen, and it happened. And Krishna didn't have to worry about the technology involved. Because he's God. God means, you know, you don't have to work at it. You can just, like, do everything, and it comes out nicely. With us, we have to spend so much time. I was listening, Prabhupada was talking about a flower. Like you have these beautiful flowers. You know, they're symmetric. Some of flowers are not symmetric, but anyway. These beautiful flowers with all these like colors and subtle shades that go from one color to another, or one shade of a color to another. And billions and billions, you know, unlimited flowers on this earth, basically. And so Prabhupada was saying that if you had to take a paintbrush and paint one flower with the same, let's say, beauty that one flower has, you'd be there a long time. Prabhupada was giving this class I listened to this morning. He said, you have to go to the paint shop. You have to buy some brushes. You have to get the right colors, mix them for one color, and then you have to just blend them into another color. I mean, just with the petals. That's not even making the petals. It's just painting the petals. And all that is happening. All that is happening by Krishna just willing it to happen. I mean, it's actually quite amazing. In other words, Krishna doesn't have to work. Natasha karyam karanamya vidyate. That Krishna doesn't do any work. He just enjoys. So, and even you take Krishna, all right, take Krishna. But even you take Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna in Vrindavan, he's just playing. And some of the other Vishnu forms, I mean, you wouldn't say they're working, but they're doing things insofar as the material world. But Krishna is just there in Goloka Vrindavan, playing his flute, having unexcelled beauty, intimate devotees and you know, pastimes, amazing pastimes, and then everything else is happening automatically. You know, it's amazing. I mean, Prabhupada gave the comparison, of course, it's a rough comparison, of a man who's a very wealthy man, he owns many factories. He's not working in the factories. I mean, well, unless you happen to own Tesla, you know, he actually works in his factory anyway, because he's in Maya. So, he doesn't understand how to enjoy life. He thinks that the goal of life is to produce a perfect battery-powered car or a truck or something like that, or go to the moon. I mean, so much energy. Going to the moon or going to Mars, what are you going to do in Mars? It's just like people have all these different things, but just what is... Of course, he says the purpose of going to Mars is to ensure the survivability of the human race. Like he's going to send Adam and Eve to Mars. Adam and Eve. And they can just reproduce, you know. You know, after we kill each other off on the earth. Like, you know, so, I mean, first of all, he doesn't even understand science. Because if you just send a few people to Mars, and they're all reproducing amongst themselves, then there's going to be so many genetic problems they'll die off. That's actually what they say about the Neanderthals, because they just reproduced amongst themselves. There was genetic problems. Anyway, so that has nothing to do with Bhagavatam class. But it's all a waste of time. Instead, he should just be somehow or other deciding how to propagate the Hare Krishna movement. That would be the best thing he can do. Anyway, so getting back to the point, so let's say a very rich man, he doesn't have to work in a factory. He may choose to do so. But he doesn't have to work in the factory because he can just enjoy on his yacht. So Krishna is the richest. And so he's just enjoying Goloka Vrindavan. And then Lord Brahma tries to create some problems and then fans himself as Lord Vishnu in all his Vishnu Tattva expansions. And he's doing that not simply to fool Lord Brahma, but he's doing that so that, in essence, he'll be married to all the gopis. We described this the other day. In other words, that year in which Lord Brahma took away the coward boys and calves, that year they had the marriage ceremonies for the coward boys to the young gopis. So Krishna arranged all these things. You know, when Krishna does one thing, he arranges millions of things simultaneously. You know, I hate to use the expression killing two birds with one stone. That's actually a horrible expression. But Krishna just does everything perfectly. When we do something, there's a loss somewhere to get a gain somewhere else. In other words, we got to prioritize, right? Like, you know, I prioritize my life. You know, I have to make a list. What's the highest priority? Eating. What's the second highest priority? Sleeping. What's the third highest priority? Telling jokes. But I mean, anyway, so, no, that's not. First priority, my first priority is chanting. And then, you know, Prabhupada's mission, you know, all those things like that. It's the highest priority. So I have to neglect certain things. Certain things I may like to do, like go skiing in the mountains or something like that. No, I wouldn't. But, you know, something else like that. So I just have to neglect lower priorities for higher. But Krishna's not like that. When he does one thing, he does so many things, like lifting Govardhan Hill. You may think, well, he lifted Govardhan Hill just to protect the residents of Vrindavan, okay. But, and while he was lifting, poor Krishna didn't get a chance to dance his rasa dance, you know. Not so. How can you dance your rasa dance when you're in the hill? It would be a little dangerous. No, but that enabled Krishna to enjoy with all the residents of Vrindavan simultaneously. And for them all to see Krishna for the whole 7 days that he was holding up the hill. So in other words, nothing was neglected by any of Krishna's actions. Whereas we're always neglecting something by every one of our actions. You have to prioritize. You know, let's say if you're sleeping, you're neglecting working or you're neglecting chanting. But Krishna doesn't have to prioritize. It's interesting. So he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's perfect. And his will is always done. Everything that happens is being permitted by Krishna. So, okay, on that happy note, we got 4 more minutes of class, so any questions or comments? Questions, comments, arguments, problems, opinions. No, Ravi.
I just had a comment from the peanut gallery.
Yeah,
peanut. It made up a new expression instead of two birds and one stone. When we were living in Mayapur, there were so many sannyasis all the time. So I made up 2 sannyasis, 1 obeisances.
Well, why not 10 sannyasis, 1 obeisances?
Yeah, that's even better.
That's actually good. Thank you very much for that one. Okay, because sannyasis don't offer obeisances to anybody, but because we're proud. Anyway, so apart from that, so, yes.
Yeah, you said Nikola Tesla, he would, instead of just owning, you know, his laboratory or whatever, he...
I wasn't talking about Tesla, I was talking about Musk.
Oh,
Elon Musk.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was going to say that, since we're here. he liked it. With him, it was good nature to go into the laboratories and do his great inventions, whatever, you know, he rediscovered a lot of technologies that humans got lost in. We had thousands of years ago, but a long time ago, we were thrown into the cave for some reason. Maybe the flood did it, who knows. But anyway, him, he
enjoyed it.
He enjoyed it, it was in his nature to actually, I mean, he didn't go into his laboratory. He wouldn't be happy. He had to go in there because it was this creativity.
That's nice. That's nice. Well, what does Krishna enjoy? Krishna enjoys rasa. Because everything's already been invented as far as Krishna is concerned. Yeah. And incidentally, Nikola Tesla was from Serbia. In case you didn't know that.
He was actually from Croatia, but Serb.
He was Serbian.
Yeah, yeah.
I
was born in Croatia.
Oh, born, but he was Serbian. Yeah, but I mean, the whole Yugoslavia was one at that time.
Yeah.
So anyway, Krishna doesn't enjoy the mechanical things like that. That's actually Shudra stuff, where you enjoy like doing that. But Krishna enjoys rasa, or relationships with living entities. He doesn't enjoy relationship with dull matter, whereas we enjoy relationship with dull matter. Like I enjoy my computer, enjoy my mobile phone, enjoy my, you know, the ladies enjoy their clothes, their hair. I thought that was funny. So, but Krishna enjoys relationships. He's all about relationships. You understand what I mean? That's how you can analyze Krishna. You know, that's his enjoyment. You know, it's not that Krishna's enjoying just expanding himself, but he enjoys expanding himself because of relationships. He's Ras. He's Ras of Raj, the king of all relationships. Anyway, yeah.
Just on the offering Tulsi to Vishnu Tata means we would offer to Lord Nityananda, Lord Balaram, and that.
Yes.
So just not Shakti Tata and that.
Yeah, we cannot offer Tulsi to... I mean, you can put in the spiritual... Sometimes devotees put it in the spiritual master's hand to offer to Krishna, or Radharani's hand to offer to Krishna. But you can't offer it to Radharani. You know, you can't put Tulsi on Radharani's feet. But any Vishnu Tata, Balaram... confirmed. Balaram just blew the contrary.